book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And the lesson will surround that chapter. There will most likely be another lesson one Sunday night, but at the end of this lesson, I will state the sort of title of that second lesson. Let us hear from verse, that is chapter 4, from verse 12 to verse 20 of the book of 2 Kings.
And he said to Gehazi, his servant, called this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say no unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she had no son, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Verse 15.
No, that verse is okay. Yes, sir. Yes. What verse is that?
15.
Go on to 20.
And he said, at this season, when the time cometh around, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, when the time came around, as Elisha had said unto her. And when the son was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. 20.
Sat on her knee until noon and then he died. In announcing this lesson this morning, I announce it as an encouraging lesson and as a touching lesson, and it is. In the story told about this woman and her son, and some other things surrounding the lesson. One, there are lessons in this story for men. In it for children. There are lessons in it for parents. There are lessons in it for everyone. The story surrounds the little boy's death. And it is a sad situation. Here is a woman, when she was relating her story, remember, she had done good to God's prophet. Among the greatest in the Bible, you find Elisha and Elijah. These were men who truly stood for God. And not only was she welcoming, when Elisha passed her way, she went and spoke to her husband and said to him, in effect, let us do some addition to the house, so that whenever he comes by, whenever he passes, we will have an accommodation for him. You gather to those of us who have read much of the story surrounding, you gather that she was the dominant character in this home. Most of the initiative that were taken, they were taken by her. But she always consult her husband. You will also recall, if you have studied, not just now, in the past, the lesson, that she was described as a great woman. But the passing of her son was very sad. Let us refresh our memory again. Verse 12 through verse 20, brother, of chapter 4.
And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called
the Shunammite woman.
And when he had called her, she stood before him.
Mm-hmm. That was Elisha's servant. Mm-hmm.
And he said unto him, say no unto her. Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care.
You have taken care of us.
Amen.
You see, what you have here is kindness, acknowledge, and kindness is about to be returned. You have taken good care of us. That is Elisha and his servant. Yep. What may we do for you? Read.
What is to be done for thee?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king?
Do you want me to speak to the king on your behalf? No, that's a big offer.
Amen.
For some reason, Elisha felt there was an open audience with the king at any time. That's at least how he felt. Do you want me to put in a word for you, for the to the king? Read. Yeah.
Or to the captain of the host.
Or to the warlord of the king. Read.
And she answered, I dwell among mine own people.
She's telling him now of her state. I dwell among my people.
And he said,
what
then is to be done for her?
I'm still asking, what do you want me to do for you?
And Gehazi,
you see, the insistence of Elisha is recognizing how kind, how considerate, how helpful, how unselfish this woman was.
Yeah.
Read.
And Gehazi answered, verily she had no child, and her husband is
old. Now, don't get confused. This is Elisha's servant reporting back to Elisha.
Yeah.
Read.
And he said, called her. And when he had called her.
Notice what he relates to that verse you have just read. Read it again. Just.
And he said, call her.
No, above that.
Above. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she had no child.
She's childless.
And her husband is old.
And her husband is up in age.
Yeah.
Old. Uh-huh. Read on.
And he said, call her.
Called her.
And when he had called her,
you must appreciate the insistence of Elisha.
Yeah.
But you must also appreciate, in a lot of time, teaching lesson, preaching sermons, we cannot, and sometimes we need to take more time, always read all the verses we want to. As one man was commenting on Paul preaching until midnight, and the commentator, the theologian, comment that there is no example in the New Testament of a short sermon. That's right. But we do have example of long sermon. And that may tell us something. That men and women who want to go on permanent diet religiously, something wrong. Anyway.
And when he had called her, she stood in the door.
Uh-huh.
And he said, about this season, according to the time of...
Wait. His servant, Elisha's servant, had told Elisha that the woman was childless, her husband was up in age. And the implication, of course, is having a child now is... That possibility, not just likely, that possibility is nil. Okay?
Yeah.
And he called her.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And said. About this season.
About this same time next year.
According to the time of life.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt embrace a son.
You are going to bring forth a son.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what must be kept in mind, and what I'm about to say, going to have bearing upon a point that will come up in the rest of the lesson. The woman did not ask for a child. Very important. How her childlessness came up was, she was telling her first aid, I live among my people, I have no children, etc., etc. That's her state. She was not asking for a child. And she did not.
Yeah.
Read.
And
but
she,
here you have God's prophet Elijah telling her that this time next year you're going to have a child.
Yeah.
Elijah knew that even though this woman did not ask for a child, that would be one of her greatest wishes. He knew that. Read on.
And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid.
I love this. You know, the lady felt that having a child with the age of her husband and other biological realities being cancelled, having a child is out of the question. You see, but you see, she and Elisha were on two different wavelengths. Elisha never for a moment forget the power of God. This woman did not know the power of God, even though she believed in God. For Elisha, even if they were Abraham and Sarah's age, Elisha believed in God to the extent he knew that giving her a child is no impossibility. But for the woman, She said, "Sir, you're a man of God. No, lie to me." And you can understand her emotion. Having a child was completely out of her mind. So, where y'all come provoke me for? And I work brain for me. Where y'all do that for? Read, brother.
And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had
said. In other words, the exact thing that Elisha said would happen, happened. Remember, all this was God's doing. Elisha was just the spokesperson through whom the Almighty God was bringing hope to this woman who was hopeless, at least in the area that is under consideration. The little boy had been an unexpected gift from God to his parents. The father didn't expect to have a child with his wife. The wife didn't expect for both of them to have a child. Oh my God, how much the Almighty God knows our deep longing and desire, our aspiration, our ambition. How much God knows that, much more than we do. The little boy represented kindness remembered and kindness returned. I want to repeat that. When Elijah sent his servant to her to find out what might be done for her, it was as a result of Elisha being impressed with her unselfishness, her kindness, and all of that. Kindness remembered, kindness returned. Look at verse 12 through 14. That is.
And he said to Gehazi, call her. She stood before him. And he said unto him, say, careful for us.
You have been so considerate to us. You have given.
What is to be done for thee?
Mm-hmm. So as I've said, it is all a burden kindness return. The boy's mother, as I've said, did not ask for a son, but God sent her a son as a reward for her kindness to his servant, the prophet Elisha, and because of Elisha's prayer. She most likely, as I've said, most likely wondered why God had tried and mocked her in this way. How do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Remember, by this time her son was now dead. Yes, we have looked on it. That not long after God gave her the son, the boy grew up and started visiting his father when his father was working with other men. And he came home with a headache, sat in his mother's lap, and just did right there so. What God is it that would mock her like that? In fact, she's going to remind Elisha that I didn't ask for a son. And you give me a son to build up my hope, and you just take him so? He was taken when he reached the most interesting years as a young, probably teenager, or going up close to there. He was able to run to and from. There's no doubt that he filled his parents' house with joy and gladness. There's no doubt that his mother and father's attachment grew towards him when they see him run up and down and bring joy to their lives. And if he, as if God had some vengeance against this woman, the boy just dead so. We are not sure how much to blame God. I repeat, we are not sure how much to blame God for, may I use the term, mocking her. God did not really mock her, as we will see. But there's no doubt in her mind that's what she felt. In fact, she did not pour out her disappointment and her wrath on God. She poured it out on Elisha. Turn to verse 27 and 28 of chapter 4.
And when she came to the man of God.
And when she came to the man of God, that is after her son died.
To the hill, she caught him by the feet. But
wait, she caught him. When she came to Elisha, Elisha didn't know at this time that her son was dead. She had back home asked her servant to saddle the donkey. And in verse 24, let me hear verse 24, brother.
Then she saddled an horse and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me.
You know what that slack not mean? Press the gas pedal at 100 miles an hour. That's what that mean. That's right. Don't worry, drive any 60 or 70 or 80 miles an hour. And she's going to tell him, if anybody stop you, don't stop. It's disappointment and probably vexation with it's like Elisha is mocking her. Get back to
27.
Yes.
And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But
wait, she caught him by the feet?
By the feet.
Uh-huh.
But Gehazi came near to thrust her away.
That is, Elisha's servant came to pull her away and push her one side. But Elisha said, no, leave her. At this time, he didn't know. The prophet didn't know what had happened.
Yeah.
Read on.
And the man of God said, let her alone.
Let her alone.
For her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hid it from me.
You get the point? When he said her soul within her is vexed, you may think that he's hinting that he knew. No. It's here he's going to find out. He said, God hid it from me. Yeah. That is, whatever God did, I didn't know. Yeah. Read on, brothers.
And had not told me.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said,
mm-hmm.
Did I desire son
What verse
of
is that?
My Lord, 28.
28. Read verse 26.
Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with
thee?
Wait.
This is when they saw her from a distance coming. Elisha saw her. And he told his servant, run to meet her. The way she was coming, you know, at that 150 miles an hour, Elisha realized that something was wrong. Listen now. You're still at verse 26.
26. Is it well with thy husband?
Wait. Elisha is asking the question. With the haste, the anxiety with which he approached him. Is it well with your husband?
Is it well with the child?
Is it well with the child?
And she answered.
Wait, I think he asked first if it was well with she.
With her first.
That's right, is it well, asking that far.
Is it well with thee?
Is it well with thee? The three possibility that would cause the woman to come with that anxiety and haste. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?
Yeah. And she answered,
it is well.
It is well.
You know, she was really a fantastic woman. Truly. She was a woman of few words. Truly. Because she not hold any long argument.
Yeah.
You see, here she have the opportunity to tell Elisha part of her mind. But is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with the child? She just simply answered, it is well. Yeah. Read on, brother.
And when she came to the man of God to the hill,
mm-hmm.
she caught him by the feet.
Mm-hmm.
But
you'd ask the question, Brother Mitchell, she come to fight him or what? No. She was burdened down with sorrow, disappointment. How could Elisha or God mock her like that? But God didn't mock her. Read, brother.
But Gehazi came near to thrust her
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
And the man of God said, let her alone,
mm-hmm.
for her soul is vexed within
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had hid it from me
mm-hmm.
and had not told me. Then she said,
What Elisha is acknowledging there, that he was not aware of anything happening to her, her husband, or her children. God did not reveal that to him. Read.
Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord?
You get the point now? She's now addressing Elisha. It is Elisha that she referred to as my Lord. You will notice that is written in common letter. Not capital, Lord. Man, where you do that to me for? Did I ask you for a son? Read.
Did I not say, do not deceive me?
Did I not tell you when you tell me that I'm going to bear a son? Did I not tell you not to deceive me? Can you imagine how threatening she was? Poor Elijah must be frightened. Oh, Lord. When you preach, you have all sorts of experience. I remember as a young man at Elliston Road, I preached a lesson, and one of the sisters who had been in the church long, and she was big and stout too. She didn't like the sermon. Young boy. In fact, at the time I didn't even go away yet to college. And after the sermon, she come and grabbed me upright. Yes. And said, Brother Mitchell, I mean you and I preach about. Lord have mercy. I didn't even, you preach and there are people in the audience that you don't even pinpoint that they are there. And being a young person, I was what, probably just about 20, 21, they're young. I was so frightened, truly. I don't know how poor Elisha felt, but he knew that this woman was carrying some sad experience with her. Read on.
Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up my loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not." Mm-hmm. Again.
Here again is another direct commission from Elisha.
Yeah.
Read on, brother.
"And lay my staff upon the face of the child."
Mm-hmm.
"And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on."
It's a wonderful, the assurance that the man of God gave. You know, "I'm not going to leave you. Even in those archaic age, God's people learn to show compassion." And we need to learn that. "I'm not going to leave you." He knew the conflict that was in her mind, the sorrow that she was carrying. Let me So you have gathered that the child died. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, what you must keep in mind that is that the Almighty God was directly involved in all of what we have seen going on. It's no accident. She will soon learn that God was involved in it. You mean, Brother Mitchell, putting her through all that disappointment, let down, feeling that she was mocked? Yes, God was involved. There is a possibility that she had begun to make an idol of her son. One day, if you understand what I mean. There is that possibility where she was so glad for the son at that stage in her life. And as she witnessed that young boy grow up, running up and down nice, and that he become the idol of her life. Are we all there? God used the death of her son to remind her. Are we all there? That the child was God's. And that God has the right to do whatever he wants with the child. All this knowledge that she's going to gain from the son being killed by God and then restored back to life, she would never have gained that knowledge of God and God's sovereignty had the son not been killed. Are we all here? This mother knew something of God's love before the death of her son. She knew something about God. She keep referring to Elijah as the man of God. But she never would have known half, so much of it, but for the trial and loss she experienced by the death of her son. This woman get to know God more and better. This woman realized better how to relate to her son and to understand that her son was not the most important thing in this universe. All that message she got. It is said that the sunshine is beautiful. But sometimes, in a time of continual drought, we learn that the world would not get on with perpetual sunshine. In times of drought, we learn that lesson. In these situations, in the time of drought, we are glad to see the cloud, and we are glad to see some rain, as beautiful as the sunshine is.
Amen.
And I said that to say this. After the child was killed and was restored to life by Elisha, did you know that the child became even more important to her? But not an idol. That's right. When that child was killed, life withdrawn by God and then restored by the power of God, that child become even more precious. But in a right sense. Because not only that, God now became a part of that woman's calculation in ways that God wasn't before. At any moment in her life thereafter that she was tempted to just put that child above everything else, she would remember that, you know, God is more important. You know, it is God who gave me this child and God can take him back at any time. She will never forget that. She was so much more a wiser woman from this disappointing but great experience. I end this lesson, but there's a second part to it. The next lesson surrounding this woman will deal with the three questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? It is well. Most likely next Sunday night, God's willing, we may look at that second part. So we are not finished with the woman. But don't forget, with all the disappointment and feeling that she was mocked, that she went through, at the end of it all, the Almighty God open her eyes to the fact that God is all powerful and that whatever we have, it belongs to God. It's a lesson that I think serves her well for the rest of her life.